Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
If you come forward with information about what you're going through, it helps people.
Sad news from the world of music. Mike Peters, the frontman for The Alarm, has died at the age of 66. And we will pay some tribute to Mr. Peters here today on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. Patrick Foster is off today, but I have with me a panel to join in this tribute. Please welcome Craig Rosen. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Also, Joe Basso.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
All right. And Bud Verge.
Jim, how are you doing today?
All right. Okay. So first thing I want to say here, I'll just make a brief little summary here of my Alarm fandom here. I got into the Alarm really early on when I was in college. So I was just looking it up, and their debut album, Declaration, came out in 1984. I started college in the fall of 85. And went into school with a very open mind in terms of music. I really felt like, oh, I go to college now and I'm going to, you know, discover all this like cool, different music that I'm not getting in my hometown. And immediately I latched on to REM, as I think we've discussed numerous times on the podcast. I brought with me a love of U2, because even though they were still considered alternative back then, they had, you know, broken through on MTV and whatnot. And then another band that I just sort of immediately, very quickly latched onto, I think probably because of my love for U2, was The Alarm, because they had a very similar sort of vibe and sound. And I got that album, Declaration, and also released in 85, so that year was their second album, Strength. And I had both of those on cassette. I sadly don't have them anymore. As you know, cassettes tend not to have a long lifespan. But I had them, and they were in the Walkman that I wore at all times in college, and they were in regular rotation. And I would say that the thing that really appealed to me about The Alarm was, and especially for somebody who's, you know, 18, 19 years old, was this sense of like, that, you know, we were going to do great things or something. Their songs had this sort of anthemic quality to them, right? Like, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to take on the world kind of songs. And both in sort of the lyrics, you know, when you have songs like Blaze of Glory, Spirit of 76, 68 Guns, The Stand, Strength, Where Were You Hiding When the Storm Broke, Marching On. I mean, every song is like this call to arms, right? This call to action, right? You know, that was just very exciting when you were at that stage of life. And so I never got to see The Alarm play live, and I know that they had a great reputation as a live band. But those first two records in particular, I just were pretty important to me at that time in my life. And it was kind of fun to go back now and revisit, you know, some of their music just today. So that's my connection to The Alarm. But I want to turn it over now to Craig Rosen. All right. So what's your connection with The Alarm, Craig?
Like you, Jim, I discovered them in college. I'm a little older than you, I believe, so might have been a little before. And I liked them initially, and then I sort of turned my back on them. It's funny because a lot of people, you know, compare them to U2, and I sort of went through a similar thing that I did with U2, that I sort of like turned my back on them at one point because I thought they were a little too earnest and a little too maybe posy-ish or whatever. It was that period when I was really getting in the REM and I liked the more sort of down-to-earth bands like X and the Minutemen and stuff like that. But eventually I came around and, I mean, you know, I appreciate a lot of their songs. I mean, that's like Rain in the Summertime, mm-hmm. 68 Guns. I mean, they have a lot of classic songs. And even perhaps more importantly than the music is his public fight against cancer. I completely applaud him for that because as a journalist and a human, you often see celebrities and people sort of hiding their illness for whatever reason. And that always kind of drives me crazy because, I know it's a private matter and sometimes people don't like to share, but the fact is that especially celebrities with the platform is if you come forward with information about what you're going through, it helps people. You remind people to get tested. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, getting sick. I mean, I'm a cancer survivor. It's a weird thing to say, but I had prostate cancer. And, you know, thankfully I'm okay. I got it treated. You know, I encourage everybody to get their PSA tested because you never know. It's tragic and it's good to know if you're going through something like that. It's good to know that there are people out there experiencing something similar that can give you sort of, you know, a cliche, you know, give me strength. Mike Peters, he fought it on and off for 30 years,
right?
Which is just like mind blowing. And it came, I think it might've been like five times that it came back.
Well, there were at least three that I saw mentioned in one obit and it was really quite sad. It was like the first diagnosis was in 95. And then there were two more at like 10-year intervals, 2005 and 2015. So, yeah, this guy really had some health struggles. And we were supposed to see him, but I think you were going to go as well. We were supposed to see him with the current, you know, lineup of The Alarm last year at the State Theater in Falls Church. And then that tour got canceled because of his, you know, his health.
Yeah, I believe it was last spring. It was supposed to be a triple bill of him, Gene Loves Jezebel and Blancmange as well, I think. That was going to be but then they got canceled like, you know, a week or 2 weeks out and canceled the whole tour. And, you know, because he was, he's having another, you know, bout of, you know, with cancer. And who knew that like a year later it'd be all over.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Anything else, Craig?
About the cancer thing again, I mean, I know my cousin had that blood cancer and thankfully he's okay. And I have a friend that is going through that and he's on the road to recovery. But, you know, that's no joke. That is like a very intense treatment and recovery. I mean, you're like sequestered in the hospital for at least a couple weeks. They have to like do stem cell transplants and everything and radiation first and then stem cell transplants. So the fact that this guy went through that several times and then continued to make music and continue to be optimistic. And he also signed people up. He created this organization to sign people up for stem cell registry to, you know, for stem cell donors. So, I mean, he was an all around hero, you know, so props to him. I mean, I was very, you know, sad when I read about him passing.
Yeah. Mike Peters' charity for stem cell donation was called, or is called, Love, Hope, Strength, which is right from the lyrics in that song. So. Joe, what about you? What are your memories of The Alarm? I saw you holding up a record on the video here a little bit earlier.
Yeah, my memories of The Alarm are similar time frame. It was about 1983, and I actually first saw them on, I believe it was MTV, but it wasn't a video. They were doing kind of a promotional piece where they were talking to the band, and they were standing on, you know, I think it was like a roof garden or a patio or something like that, and it was just them and their acoustic guitar, and they played and they sang songs, and the acoustic nature of it really tied back into my upbringing of listening to Irish rebel music. And I think that one of the great things I liked through most of The Alarm's career was they never really got too far away from that revolutionary spirit. They never got too far away from the person who's downtrodden, the person who needs something to believe in, something to help them get them through to, you know, almost a defiance of, you know, at that time, Reagan and Thatcher era politics. And it was like the little person, the common person who was just finding this strength to, you know, not be beat down. And it was resonated very, very strong with me at that time, you know, around mid-80s. So, you know, of course, 2 days after seeing that piece, I went into the record store and I bought their first EP, which I think it was out, the only record out at the time. And that, you know, actually, interestingly enough, just happened, the second song on that album is a song about the issues in Ireland.
Smile.
So it really hit hard with me. And then when, you know, their second album came, or their first full album, I guess, when that came out, those songs, from the minute you drop the needle to the end of the record, just is, I think, I don't even know what the word is. It is a powerhouse record. It is a record that lifts your spirit. It moves me, especially on a song as intense as Blaze of Glory, where, you know, the line is, you know, you got to hold your hand up high before they shoot you down. Like, even that to me had a strength in it. Like, you know, almost like, don't let them beat you.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you, Joe.
And if I can add just one thing, because I was listening to some of their stuff today and revisiting it, and I kind of forgotten about their excellent version of Happy Christmas, War is Over. If you're not familiar with it, you might want to go back and revisit it. For me, that was the first cover of that song I ever heard. And, you know, now it's kind of like a Christmas standard. It's been overdone so much, but I think that one still holds up as keeping the true spirit of the song. Even like the dirge, like, you know, ending where they're singing, you know, War is Over and Happy Christmas, if you want it. I mean, I don't know, that just sort of just maintain that spirit throughout their career as musicians and songwriters and as interpreters of music.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Bud Verge.
I had a couple of run-ins with of the Alarm over the mid-80s. Of course, I saw them with U2 in 83, probably like SUNY Albany. Since I grew up in Western Mass, it was just kind of like an hour over. But later, you know, when I went to UMass and, you know, the mid-80s, they came through in 86 on that Strength album. They played a small little theater, probably about 2,000 people. And just the anthems that they had, every song was an anthem. Everybody's singing along. It's, you know, as you know, about as brotherly love as you can get, you know, singing all these songs all together, you know, from, you know, what we heard from years before. But really my best memory of the Alarm was a little bit later. I had gotten involved with the College Board at UMass, and we did like 25 to 30 shows a year, which is a lot for a College Board. And it culminated in the spring every year with a big, like a spring concert. Where we'd put up an outdoor stage and have, you know, four or five bands and have music all through the afternoon. And the spring of 88, I forget who the opener was. It was probably like a local Boston band that we usually got. The middle band was Jane Seabury out of Canada. The headliner was Robert Cray. He was selling Strong Persuader. And third on the bill, or second to last, we had the Alarm. They were doing an afternoon show for us, and they were going to do a show later that night in New Haven. So they were doing two shows in one day. So we put them on probably about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Great. They hung out with us backstage all through the day. And, they were super nice to everybody, all the college kids that, you know, were like, you know, a little bit awestruck. You know, I think we were a little bit more impressed by the Alarm than we were Robert Cray, still a great band, still a great musician, but we were really, you know, more pumped for the Alarm. And, you know, they spent time and, you know, glad handed everybody and, you know, were super nice. They weren't like, you know, don't bother us because we have, you know, we have to work twice today and, you know, we got to get out of here quick. So that was super nice. So they go up on stage probably about 3:30 in the afternoon in the middle of May. It's a nice sunny day. Then all of a sudden, rain clouds start to roll in. And about halfway through the set, you know, raindrops start falling from the sky as it is, you know, as can happen in any May, you know, afternoon, because, you know, rain comes in and rain comes out. And I think they changed the set list around and they brought a certain song up a little bit in the set list, which was, you know, Rain in the Summertime, which was kind of a bit meta, a bit of life imitating art, imitating life of seeing them play Rain in the Summertime as it's kind of raining and kind of sunny at the same time at UMass. And while we had like 10 to 15,000 people out in the field, I don't think they all knew that song, but for the folks that did, we all kind of sang along and, you know, kumbaya'd it for a little bit. And it was really such a great memory of like, you know, this is like kind of what it's all about. You know, this is the band playing their song about something that as is kind of happening. Of course they played like three or four more songs and they finished all the hits and they load up and they hop in the bus and they kind of head down to New Haven. But, for a memory of the Alarm, I mean, there's not much of a, a, a more cliched memory or a better memory that I think you're going to have of that. So that's kind of my memory. And I'm still super bummed that, it would have taken me, 12, 30 something more years to go see The Alarm again with you guys. And I'm super bummed that it didn't happen, right. But at least there was the opportunity that it was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That is a great story.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Thanks, Bud. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Craig. As we always say, even though the artist may have passed, the music lives on. So go out there and check out those Alarm records, especially the early ones. Those are the ones we would highly recommend. Also, I guess this is not a surprise when you think about it, but I was a little taken aback to note when I was doing some research today that they have a ton of live albums. There are like so many live albums, but I guess, that's sort of how they made their bones, right? As being a live act. And so you can also check those out as well. All right. Rest in power, Mike Peters. And with that, on behalf of Patrick Foster, this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. With me has been Bud Verge. Thank you, Bud.
You're welcome.
Craig Rosen. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
And Joe Basso. Thank you, Joe.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And we will talk to you all later.
Couple years ago, some guy I know assigned me a freelance piece for some magazine about American songs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that participated was Mike Peters, and I got him on Zoom, and he couldn't have been nicer. He was very cool.